Good morning. That was pretty good. Not bad. We are very, very glad that you guys are here today. This is the day of the Lord is always an amazing time. This is an extra special day today for a couple of reasons. We've got the Petrus family with us, which is awesome. And we've got two baby dedications, which is amazing as well. So a great day for you guys to be here. We've got some announcements up on the screen that have been up there for a while. You guys can take a look at them, some regular stuff that's going on. A couple of other quick announcements. We had our monthly elder meeting this week, and so we wanted to update you on a couple of things. We're very excited. Sean worked with Crossway. We were able to get a discount on some new pew Bibles, hardback, sturdy Bibles that we're going to be putting in the pews here soon. And we're really excited. We got some new hymnals. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Gettys, but they released a new Sing hymnal that was very intentional, that has some awesome old classic hymns, some new modern hymns. We ordered a bunch of those. They're going to be coming soon, too. So you're going to see those in the pews. We're excited about that. And we talked about, we're going to be rekeying the doors on the church. So one thing that we wanted to make you guys aware of, if you have a key to the church in the coming weeks, it may not work after a little bit. So come see the elders. We're going to be redistributing the new keys. We just want to make sure everybody is aware of that. So exciting things going on. If you have any other questions or anything, find one of us as elders, and we can fill you in on anything else that you need. Super excited you're here. This is the time where we come worship our Lord and Savior for what he's done for us, the sacrifice that he made, his grace and his mercy. So let's join together in prayer as we prepare to worship him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that grace and mercy. We thank you that, again, there is nothing that we can do or that's required of us other than placing our faith in you. We thank you for where you have brought us from and where you have brought us to. We thank you for this work of sanctification that you continue to do in our lives, and the fact that there is forgiveness on this journey, and there is patience on this journey, Lord, but it's our heart's desire out of our love for you and what you've done, that we would show that love to all of those that we interact with, and that people would just come to know and love you in the way that we have. And so we just ask you would help usher in a spirit of thankfulness, a spirit of appreciation, and a spirit of just complete and total adoration for you this morning, Lord. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Or take a seat. If you want to grab one, go ahead, too. I know we have some people here who I think this may be their first time here. So this is a time in our service where we enter into 5 minutes of prayer. Prayer is something that we believe is absolutely critical to our faith. And it's absolutely something that we want to allow to take place here every time on the Lord's Day and take place every day. We get the privilege of spending time in the presence of our Creator. And that's something we always want to make sure we allow time for. So during this period of time, you can pray by yourself, you can grab somebody next to you, you can get together in a group. It can be a time of confession, it can be a time of thankfulness, it can be a time to ask the Lord to work on something in your life. It can be a time of just sitting in his presence and just taking that in for 5 minutes, whatever that looks like for you. We have a scripture prompt that we put up each week as well, so if you want to grab a Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3. If you want somebody to pray with you, but you're afraid to get up and ask, just slip up your hand or give us a little signal. One of the elders would love to come and pray over you, pray with you. So just let us know. But yeah, let's join together for the next 5 minutes in prayer. Heavenly Father, may you be our vision. May we never take our eyes from you. May we not lose sight of what you've done for us. We pray that you would be our light in this world that's full of darkness. And as the enemy tries to drag us down and distract us, may our eyes be locked on you. May we walk confidently in your victory. We thank you for that victory, Lord. We praise you for that victory. And we ask that you would come this morning as you prepare the words that you would have us hear, that we would receive them and receive them in a way that, again, changes us, strengthens our love for you and our desire to share that love with all that we know. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you guys could, we'd like to stand. We're going to read the word of the Lord, and out of respect for that word, we like to stand. Today we're going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Mark is going to be preaching on verses 1 through 13. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one suffering as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and descended from David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Can everybody hear me? Okay, that was a little bit smoother transition than last time when I had to put on my headset and all that. All right, so yeah, we are going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And the reason why I chose this passage is because it is very much a discipleship-oriented type passage. And we're also going to have a baby dedication, two baby dedications, which is really more like a parent dedication. And parents, those of you that are veteran parents, we are to be the first disciple makers in our children's lives. And so I thought, what a better passage to preach than 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 13. I know Dan read the word, but I'm going to read it again. This is in the English Standard Version. I don't know about you, but sometimes when somebody's reading something to me, I kind of zone out. So I'm going to read it again, just in case you were like me just about 5 minutes ago. So there you go. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Pray with me. Lord, merciful Father that you are, thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Lord, I believe with all that's going on in my life right now that it is by your divine providence that I am preaching this passage. Not so much for the baby dedication and parent dedication, but really for me. I need to hear what you have to say. My family and I need to hear what you have to say. So, Lord, give us ears to hear. And, Lord, may people not see me. May I get out of the way. May you be glorified, God, as your Holy Spirit leads. So thank you, God, for what you will do. In Christ's name, amen. So in this book, if you're not familiar with it, this is the second pastoral letter. There's 1 Timothy, and then there is 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, we learn that kind of the context here is Paul is coming to the end of his life. He is in a deep, dark, dingy prison. Earlier in his ministry, he's on house arrest. He's kind of in prison. He was able to have people visit him. That's where a lot of the New Testament was written and so on. But here, he's coming towards the end of his life. And he is writing to Timothy, but also to the church and also to us. And he is going to pass the gospel torch to Timothy. He wants Timothy to be ready. So there's a lot of discipleship that is happening, a lot of discipleship, practical things that are happening in 2 Timothy. Paul knows he's going to die for the gospel. He also knows that Timothy's probably going to suffer and die for the gospel as well. So he wants him to be ready. So what does he do? He reminds him of the gospel, the importance of it in his life. And so what you see here, let me just open up with this. So we all need to have a Paul in our life, somebody who is investing in us. And then we all need a Timothy in our life, somebody that we're investing in. There's a saying that the church is always one generation away from losing the gospel, from passing it down to the next generation. And so we want to remain faithful. Well, how do we do that? Do we just pull up our bootstraps and away we go, that sort of thing, and we dig in? Not really. So I want to open up with an illustration. So how many of you got to watch the Olympics 2024, Summer Olympics? Anybody watch those? About 5 people. All right, great. That's wonderful. So, you know, the U.S. does horribly in the Winter Olympics, right? It's like whoever's over there, I think it's Sweden or whatever, the Germans, they just like crush it, you know, China. But in the Summer Olympics, the U.S. did really, really good. I mean, I think they won, I think I found on their site, 126 medals. I mean, go U.S., right? And 40 of those were gold medals. And some of the most exciting things to watch in the Summer Olympics are the races. I hate to run. I think I just get tired of watching them run. My wife, she loves to run. She's ran, I think she's ran, what now, what, seven, eight half marathons? Something like that? Okay. And I like to watch her run, but I hate to run. I like to run in place on an elliptical machine, get some cardio work in, that sort of thing. But, yeah, not doing those kind of races. But, you know, you're familiar with the 400 relay, right? The 400-meter relay, where they pass the baton from one runner to the other. And then it's like, all of a sudden, that last one, man, if he doesn't got the gas, everybody, they're going to lose. That team's going to lose, right? Well, again, U.S. just crushed it. And I was thinking about this with that passing off of the baton and that last runner that gets it, right? They're ready to go. I think sometimes in the Christian life, maybe as a new believer, but even as a more mature believer, that we can get the idea in our head that as soon as we get that pass off from God and we go out of our own strength. That we got to get over that finish line, fight the good fight, finish that race that we've been running out of our own strength. But church, that's not the gospel. That's not Christianity. It's not do, 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 do. It's because it's already done that we can do. So we don't endure for the gospel out of our own strength, but by God's empowering grace. So if you're a note taker like my wife, and maybe some others of you are note takers, so here's the big idea. I think I turned it on, and it's not on. So there you go. On. Is it on? There we go. Strengthened by the grace that is in. Strengthened by the grace is what the title of the sermon is. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 13. And let's see here. So the Lord calls all Jesus followers to endure for the gospel by his empowering grace. That's really the main point of this passage of verses 1 through 13. You saw things about suffering, endurance, pictures of endurance. It ends with endurance, okay? So what does it look like? I've got about three slides here. I'm not going to be like clipping along here. So what does it look like to live a life of following Jesus by his grace? What does that look like? Well, I've broken the text up into three application points. So verse 2 is we want to pass on the gospel. Okay? Verses 3 through 6, be faithful to endure for the gospel. There you go. And verses 7 through 13, remember the gospel. Again, Paul has just finished giving young Timothy examples prior to this chapter of those who have and have not endured for the gospel. Look with me there in verses 15 through 18. It says, you're aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. So there's one person he mentions there that is enduring for the gospel, and then there's two that have deserted Paul, okay? Prior to that, he's exhorted Timothy to endure for the gospel and suffer for it. Chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Did you get that again? Share in suffering for the gospel by the what? Power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Wow. Right? So now this brings us to this continuing theme of gospel endurance in chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my child, he says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When Paul says that the grace that is in Christ Jesus, when he's referring to that, he is referring to God's transforming power. Paul speaks of this grace elsewhere in the New Testament, but it's all over the Bible. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And he is speaking to believers. He is writing to believers. Listen to this one. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that what? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. Listen, church. God not only saves us by his grace, he strengthens us and empowers us by his grace that is in Christ Jesus. So again, what does it look like to live a life of following Jesus by his grace? This brings us to our first point of application. Pass on the gospel. Verse 2. Look with me carefully there in verse 2. 2 Timothy 2:2, and what you have heard from me, Paul is referring to the gospel, in the presence of many witnesses, he says then entrust. The word entrust there has a sense of passing on responsibility, stewardship that's going on here. And then who does he pass it on to? To faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You know, how did Paul receive the gospel? You ever wonder about that? The scriptures tell us. Paul received the gospel not by another apostle or disciple of Jesus. He received the gospel from the resurrected and exalted Jesus himself. Galatians 1:11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me, he says, is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul received the gospel from Jesus and then passed the gospel on to others and to Timothy, and Timothy passed it on to others, and then the cycle continues. Church, how do you think the gospel spread? Jesus, yes, he was God in the flesh, perfect God, perfect man. But he then called people to himself. He said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come and follow me, and you will bear fruit, much fruit. That much fruit is the disciple-making, entrusting the gospel to the next person, and to the next person, and to the next person, and then before you know it, you have a disciple-making movement. The gospel is God's unending grace. Church, this is what the Bible calls making disciple makers. Jesus followers who make other Jesus followers. A great Old Testament passage that shows this passing on is in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Turn with me in your Bibles there. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 7. Key text for passing on the gospel to the next generation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. When you walk by the way, okay. When you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What do we see here? Passing on the gospel happens in everyday life. It's not about fitting the gospel into everyday life. It's everyday life is fit into the gospel. Here's something that you need to know about me, if you haven't already. My heart is disciple making. I want you to learn, and I know this is the heart of the elders as well, or I wouldn't be here. Your elder team and I, we want you to learn to depend on the Lord by yourself and with others in community. Following Jesus is not a solo project. But following Jesus is not depending on the experts either. And I'm not an expert, by the way. Not. The reason why I stand up here before you today is because I have Pauls in my life that have invested in me, that have believed in me, that have seen in me things that I did not see in myself. And I also have Timothys in my life that I've invested in, who have benefited from what somebody else invested in me. And then I've just passed down to them. Church, that's what we're supposed to be doing. It's not after the service, everybody charge the pastor and he's got all the answers. Or charge the elder team, they got all the answers. You have the Word of God. And if you know Christ, you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. And it's that same Spirit that Jesus said was going to come. Another one like me. So the presence of God is living in you. The triune God is living in you. You have the Word of God before you. That's what you need to be a disciple maker. Passing it on to your coworkers. Passing it on to your boss. Passing it on to your employees. Wherever the Lord leads you. It's wherever you go, right? See the Deuteronomy passage again? That's how it works. It's not rocket science. I love coming alongside of men, older, young men, younger. I love in small groups. And I mean, this past Friday with the family small group, it was a sweet time. Getting into the Word. What does the Word of God say? What does it say? How does it apply? Those things. That disciple making that's going on there. And disciple making is a two-way street. Again, we should always have a Paul and we should always have a Timothy in our lives. Think about Titus 2. Titus 2, where it talks about older men, fathers. Invest in the sons, right? Invest in the young men, older women. Invest in the younger women. That's not necessarily talking about older like in age. It's talking about older, mature in the faith, who've been following Jesus longer, who have suffered for the gospel, who have gone through things, and they come alongside of somebody who's younger, and they're all excited about following Jesus, and then they go, crap, this is hard. Right? What a source of encouragement to have somebody older in the faith come alongside of you and say, you know what? I get it. But let me point you to Jesus. I would not be a good disciple maker. The elder team would not be a good disciple maker if we just kept on pointing to ourselves. A good disciple maker points to Jesus and says, follow him as I follow Christ. I think Paul said that too. So who's investing in you? Who are you investing in? You might say, oh my gosh, I'm so stinking busy. You don't know my life. Then take them along with your life. Show them what a young mom looks like and all the dirty diapers that you have to go through and all that. Right? Show them what it looks like. The gospel happens in real life, not apart from real life. So, Wheelan, let me just share with you. We have to pass on the gospel to make disciples who will make other disciples. And you've been doing that. To invest in the next generation. Man, it brought my heart joy to know that the young adults that were invested in by Pastor Kevin are now investing in the youth here. Beautiful. That is entrusting the gospel to the next generation. Love it. Praise the Lord. Is the gospel more precious to you than when you first believed? Do you know that you are loved by God the Father through Christ, who will never let you go? Not based on what you do for him, but on what he has done for you through Christ. Do you know his Holy Spirit empowers you to live for him? Has the gospel transformed the way that you see yourself and others around you in the world? This is the gospel that we need to pass on to others, to the next generation. So what does it look like to live a life of following Jesus by his grace? Well, we're to pass on the gospel, as we've seen, but we are also to be faithful to endure for the gospel. By God's grace, we are to be able to be faithful to endure for the gospel, verses 3 through 6. Look with me there. You have your Bibles open or electronic devices. Look with me there. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. So as Paul encourages Timothy to press on in the work of disciple-making, he gives him three pictures of endurance. Did you see that? And faithfulness. Paul is a good preacher. He might be a little wordy at times, but he's a good preacher. He might not know how to use punctuation, but he's a good preacher. And he gives three different illustrations so that Timothy gets the point, and so do we. A soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. All things that they could relate to. In some ways, all things that we could relate to today. But each one also makes a statement about how we are to be faithful with the gospel. In the soldier, we see intentionality. So again, you're note-taking, go ahead and write that down. He does not get entangled in civilian pursuits, meaning he does not get distracted with the things of everyday life. He only has one goal, and that is to please the one who enlisted him. Do you see that? Verse 4. We as followers of Jesus are to be intentional, deliberate, purposeful. I know maybe some of you don't like those terms, but if you want to get anything done in life, you got to be intentional. You got to be purposeful. You got to be deliberate. So everything we do, our response in the mundaneness of everyday life, how we handle our finances, how we love other people, how we treat our coworkers, how we treat our boss, our kids, our spouse, how we respond to the trials in our lives, is to what? It's to please the Father. Do you know what this means? Every moment we get in our lives is an opportunity for God's grace to be worked in and through us. That's pretty cool. We need his grace to be intentional in all that we do and say, and for us to make it our goal to please the Father, not as one earning his love, but as humble recipients of his love. Do you see the difference? But again, sometimes we get in our heads that we got to serve and we got to serve and we got to serve to the point where we are almost convinced that we need to earn his love. But again, that's not Christianity. Next, we see the athlete, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 there. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, at first glance, we think, well, the focus here must be on rule-keeping. But it's not on rule-keeping. It's on integrity, character forming, not just changing our behavior. Listen, if it's rule-keeping, let's all go home. If it's rule-keeping, we have no hope. I mean, well, then why did Jesus live a perfect life, die a humiliating death, resurrect from the grave 3 days later, and ascend to the Father and say the Holy Spirit was coming to give us power? Why did he do all that if it's all about rule-keeping? It's not. But here's the thing in gospel work. There's no shortcuts in enduring for the gospel. There's no formula. Someone might be saying, crap, I wanted a formula. Why can't I have a formula? Listen, what God desires is not a formula, but what he desires is faithfulness. Faithfulness to his word, faithfulness to his gospel, faithfulness to his church. Now you might say, why can't I have a stinking formula? It would just be so much easier. Step one, step two, step three. I mean, I don't know, maybe some of you are looking at these points and going, pass on the gospel, endure for the gospel. Wow, these are application points. Okay, step one, step two, they're so easy. They're not, right? So why can't we have those steps? Easy one, two, three. Here's how to have a better marriage. Here's how to be a better parent. Here's how to be a better person. You know, those kind of things, right? Here's how to finance your family well or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. Those are all good things. But if they just stop there, completely miss the point. I mean, how do we grow in faith if it's just an easy step, one, two, three, right? If following Jesus is reduced to steps or a formula, then you know what's going to happen with our character? It's going to become prideful. We're going to say, well, look at me. Look what I've done. I thought it would be super easy to move to New York. It's not. Real estate nightmare. Corruption. Everywhere. Probably going to get in trouble for that, right? If somebody's viewing this. Oh, well. It's crazy. I mean, you know, Jesus said, you will have faith to move mountains. Well, right now I just feel like I can't move a pea. You know, a pea as in a little, you know, thing. Wow, that was a good one, Mark. So, if following Jesus is reduced to steps or a formula, then our character would become more prideful rather than humble. And God says, I give grace to who? The humble. And to the proud, what does he do? Yeah. We would lean on our self-righteousness rather than on Christ's righteousness. Listen, we no longer represent ourselves, but him who saved us and redeemed us from the pit of our rebellion. And we don't do this by trying harder. We don't do this by pulling up our morality bootstraps, but by what God has already given us in his Son. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Listen to this. I love this. His divine power has granted to us all things. Church, it says all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Well, now Paul ends his images of endurance with the hardworking farmer. And here in the farmer, what do we see? Wait for it. Okay, wait for it. Gospel ministry is what? Hard work. It's hard work. The gospel is free. It doesn't mean it doesn't take effort. Does that make sense? It's free, but it's also costly. Jesus says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me, right? So ministry is hard work. Farmers work long hours, right? Anybody a farmer here or was a farmer? Nobody's a farmer here? You got to be kidding me. Jim, are you the only farmer here? Wow. Kendra and I have been blessed tremendously from the Martins and their hospitality, and I think I've had just about every vegetable in their garden right now. It's so good. And fruit. Amazing. The farmer works long hours. Daylight is a gift from the Lord. If the farmer goes out in the dark to plant, I don't think you do that, Jim, right? You are not going to be able to see, right? Okay, just checking. And they use every bit of that daylight. When I was in a pastorate prior to this one, about 10 years ago, I worked with a farmer. He was the other elder in the church. And he was a hardworking farmer. And he was up at the crack of dawn, and he was in bed sleeping, you know, before, it was night, obviously, but he was sleeping to get up then for another crack of the dawn. They have a job, and they get it done. They see it through. They cultivate the soil, plant seeds in the soil, and patiently wait for the harvest, and then they're not even guaranteed that they will get the harvest. Welcome to gospel ministry. How many of you have been here for many years and you've been investing in somebody and then they just turn around and say, bye-bye, I'm not here anymore. I'm done. We are not the ones that produce growth in people. We will pull our hair out and I will even go even grayer, okay? It does not all depend on the pastors. It depends on the Lord, and he does it through his church. Through his church. Through inviting. Through investing. And then seeing God ignite in people a passion to follow Jesus. Church, be faithful. You have been faithful through this time, this transition of waiting for the next lead pastor, senior pastor. I know it's been a journey for you. I probably don't even know the half of it. Sean said he could probably write 3 books about it and tell me about it. I bet he can. Living for Jesus takes lots of time, it takes lots of energy, and it takes lots of risk. But the gospel is so worth it. It is. It is so worth it. It is the good news that God redeems, that God forgives, that God transforms, and that God gives us the endurance to keep cultivating, to keep planting, and by God's grace, reap a harvest for his glory. Amen? Galatians 6, 7 through 9 talks about this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Don't give up. persevere in Christ. Let us pursue others with eagerness and hopefulness and introduce them to a whole new way of seeing life differently through the lens of the gospel. If I take these off, I can't now because I got the headset on. But if I took these off, I wouldn't be able to see any of you. You'd all be like really blurry. People are all walking around who don't know Christ with blurry vision. And even us, we can still think we're seeing clearly, but we can get gospel amnesia, as Paul Tripp likes to say, where we forget that it's by his grace. So don't give up. Persevere in Christ. The Lord calls all Jesus' followers to endure for the gospel by his empowering grace. Pass on the gospel. Be faithful to endure for the gospel and remember the gospel. And this will be a shorter point, because this takes about 5 sermons alone in this passage right here, verses 7 through 13. There is so much meat in here. So remember the gospel, verses 7 through 13. Paul commands Timothy to think. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Think over, he says, what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. The word think here means to consider carefully, to meditate on. What are we to remember? Kind of a sub-point here. Remember who is the real hero of the gospel. What does he say? Verse 8. Remember who? Remember Abraham? Nope. Remember David? Nope. Remember Moses? Nope. Remember Jesus Christ. Jesus, the name that means the one who saves. Christ, who is the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Anointed One. Paul is choosing these words for a reason. Then he says, risen from the dead. So there you go. Risen from the dead. Now you have the offspring of David as preached in my gospel. There's the summation of a gospel, of the gospel. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which, what? I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. Then he says, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We are not the hero of the gospel. We're not. How many of you like to watch hero movies or action movies? I think Marvel, I think, pretty much lost steam, right? Oh, great, another Marvel movie, you know, wonderful. And even the Star Wars movies have lost steam, and now Disney's like, you know, trying to figure out, what do we do next? Oh, I know, we'll do this. We'll break off from the Star Wars trilogy, and we'll talk about Ben Kenobi or whatever, you know, that sort of stuff. It's losing steam. Why? Because we need a hero greater than ourselves. Did you catch the last sentence there? Where it says, the gospel, the word of God is not bound. Where he says, the gospel is not, the word of God is not bound. Remember the power of the gospel. Verse 9, he says this, and then when Paul refers to the word of God, he is talking about the gospel that saves, the all-powerful, unstoppable gospel of Jesus Christ that redeems, rescues, and restores his people, transforming them into his likeness. Listen, God will accomplish what he will accomplish through his word by his spirit, period. He will. He will. He doesn't need us. It's a gift of grace that we are actually a part of his plan. Do you remember where Paul is? Do you remember where Paul is writing this letter? He's in prison. If anybody could say that the word of God is not bound, it's Paul, right? Towards the end of 2 Timothy, Paul stands bound with chains, proclaiming the unbound word of God, the gospel, Paul says, 2 Timothy 4:17, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Boy, isn't that good news? So that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, including us. Lastly, remember the promises of the gospel. Verses 11 through 13. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Amen. Look, maybe you're here today. You've just had a heck of a week. Join the club. And you just keep blowing it. Maybe you keep blowing it as a parent and you feel defeat. And you're hearing the enemies whispering into your ear. Listen, God remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. Or maybe it's a besetting sin. Anger. Envy. Impatience. Anxiety. And you wonder if God even cares about your life right now. Listen, he remains faithful even when you don't. For he cannot deny himself. Maybe it took you everything out of you to get out of bed this morning. And you are physically and mentally wiped out. And you doubt whether God hears your prayers or not. Because you are on prayer number 1,000 to heal your body and to get rid of the chronic pain. Or to get rid of the depression. And you're wondering, when are you going to answer it, God? He remains faithful, even when we are faithless. Pass on the gospel. Be faithful to endure for the gospel. Remember the gospel, all by God's empowering grace. The Lord calls all Jesus followers to endure for the gospel by his empowering grace. Pray with me. Lord, now I'm more convinced than ever I needed to hear this message. Because for how easily I believe the lie that I need to live this Christian life out of my own strength. But Lord, your word says everywhere that you give power to the faint, that your grace is sufficient for the weak, that you give grace to the humble. And because of your goodness and your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, we can endure no matter what this life brings, no matter what this real estate market brings. You, Lord, reign and rule over everything, despite what our leaders might think, in government or elsewhere. So, Lord, help us to be faithful to pass on the gospel. Not fit it into our life, but that our life would be surrendered to you. And we would be faithful Jesus followers of you. All for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.